King, you have summoned me. What is it?
Take this here vibranium to the brother Miles as a gift from the people of Wakanda. Go and bring him the vibranium mic. He will use it wisely.
Who are you? You don't know. Don't tell me Negro. That's absolutely nothing. What did you do before you were named a Negro? And where were you? And what did you have there? Ask Professor Maurice Miles Martinez, MC Brother Miles, and he'll tell you like it really is. You can shackle the hands of black people, you can jail the bodies of black people, but you cannot shackle or jail the minds of black people. Rise up, black man, black woman, and reach to go back to Africa.
My father was a Garveyite, thus Marcus Garvey can be thought of as my grandfather. But when you say, I've read in Dr. Ben's book, or I've read in Dr. Ivan Van Sertima's book, or I've read in Professor Maurice Miles Martinez's book, they say, don't speak that information in here. Brothers and sisters, speak your truth to the world.
Brother Miles, the black man's truth is here.
The real Wakandas of Africa podcast.
History is a clock that people use to tell their political, economic, and cultural time of day. Brother Miles, the relationship of history to the people is the same as the relationship of a mother to her child.
Free at last and proud to be black. One day Miles will be free at last.
Hey, Brother Miles, that was really great, man. I'm impressed.
Welcome to the Real Wakandas of Africa podcast, the place where black history, hip-hop, and spoken word come together. I'm your host, Maurice Miles Martinez, also known as MC Brother Miles. At the end of each podcast, we have an original spoken word poetry or hip-hop track by myself. Now, please don't forget to tune in next week to the third annual Real Wakandas of Africa New Year's Eve concert. That's next week that will be actually having the third annual New Year's Eve concert. I will have some new hip-hop for you as well as new material. So definitely tune in for the end of year New Year's Eve concert. Now last week we dealt with the voyages of an explorer who built an African papyrus reed ship and sailed from the African continent to the Caribbean. Now, one of the objections to Africans coming to America before Christopher Columbus is whether there are any examples of a small group of Africans becoming leaders of indigenous societies, of Native American societies, upon arrival during slavery. Because if there's a large nation of hundreds of thousands of people, and in some places millions, with all of their customs already in place, how could a small group of 20 or 30 or even 100 or 200 people even take over? And this argument is made to say, well, maybe some Africans drifted across the ocean, because as we know, there's a current that flows from West Africa, from the Cape Verde Islands to the Caribbean, but they really didn't have a significant impact upon the culture or the environment here. So other examples of this, like Jamestown, Virginia, where English settlement had a lot of trouble, almost really starved in the first few years, are other examples of this. And these are the English starving, right? Having trouble. However, in Ecuador, more specifically in Esmeraldas, there was an instance of a tropical storm and a ship that actually crashed. Now, this ship was a slave ship. It ran aground in 1553. And the people who were enslaved, a group of 23 Africans from the West African coast, were led by a military giant. I'll call him a military giant, known as Anton. He had knowledge, obviously, on how to defeat the Spanish. He was like Hannibal of Carthage. He attacked the slavers and he liberated this group along with his companions from his Spanish enslavers. Now, there are other people who come into the picture, into the scene here, like Alonzo de Illescas, and basically this occurred in the region of Colombia and Ecuador, and eventually this group ends up in Esmeraldas, Ecuador. Illescas, or Illescas, it's Illescas, was also a strategist in military tactics. Now, if you're wondering, like, how do people become a strategist in military tactics? Well, a lot of the people on the African continent were very, very, very wise. They had knowledge in African martial arts. And as we know, African martial arts originated on the African continent. And so they came over with not only African martial arts under their belt already, but they also came over with military technique and strategy that in some cases was more advanced than what existed in Europe. And so in this case, it definitely was. Alonzo de Illescas quells and stops military expeditions of the Spanish, and he partners with indigenous societies to defeat them. He defeats them, and they're not able to basically take over. So now he's ruling an area. And if you know anything about history during this time, during our modern era, bribes are, you know, considered to be outlawed and everything. But during this time, bribes were a regular order of the day. So Alonzo de Illescas rejects bribes. Not only that, but the Spanish thought he was so powerful, they appointed him as a governor. He rejected the title of governor, as well as a court position. And the president of the royal court writes him and tries to get him to lead the area, but he was already leading the area. And the reason this is so noble of him is that many captains and other people really wanted to become governors. They fought to become governors. These are Spanish captains, slave ship captains and other captains, merchants. And he rejected that. He fled from state slavery. He actually, technically, they tried to arrest them, and they weren't able to. So by 1599, this place, which was called, believe it or not, La República de Zambos, or the Zambo Republic, Z-A-M-B-O. Now, if you're wondering, like, where does Zambo come from? Zambo actually comes as a term of people who are both African and Native American admixture. And there was a group of Zambo leaders. They call them chiefs. You know, the chief is not, or chieftains, you know that that's a biased term from listening to this podcast. But these Zambo governors led and ruled over 100,000 people in Esmeraldas. And the Spanish were still largely, let's say, in charge of the entire region because they had colonized it. But their state, they ruled. And there was an oil painting commissioned, you can actually look it up online, of these leaders of the Zambo Republic, right? And or Zambo State, depending on how you refer to it. Now, one of the points that Ivan Van Sertima makes in his book, They Came Before Columbus, is here is an example of a very small group of Africans, 23 Africans, right, who freed themselves from slavery, joined forces with indigenous society, organized other African groups, defeated the Spanish in military battle, and then were respected by the Spanish and became leaders and ruled their area in complete freedom. So definitely a major piece of evidence of Africans in America before Christopher Columbus
or not before Christopher Columbus, but post-Christopher Columbus, but evidence that shows that Africans in America before Christopher Columbus could have actually arrived here in a small group and become leaders. Ecuador today has a population of about 1 million plus, 1,120,000 African descendants. And the province of Esmeraldas is still 70% black today. As always, we conclude the Real Wakandans of Africa podcast with an original spoken word poetry or hip-hop track by myself, MC Brother Miles, and please tune in next week for the third annual Real Wakandans of Africa New Year's Eve concert. Twenty-three Africans, led by Iyeskis and Anton, established an entire province, a state in Ecuador, a place to be, and lived their lives on, declared themselves to be free from a crashed Spanish slave ship that broke against the rocks, waves, and sea. 23 Africans making their way to the interior to found what was to be a nation within a nation. The Spanish tried to re-enslave them but could not, and so they got appointed to be governors of that state, rising to the top from the belly of slave ship rot to rot the entire leadership to become the roots of the tree and the stalks and the branches and seeds to found a place of freedom in the Americas for the African to be. And Afro-Ecuadorian music still rings like the freedom chants as people play indigenous instruments and sing songs until this day. A painting was commissioned of these noble men for others to remember, to admire, and to look at them. So if you have the chance to touch down on Ecuadorian ground, pay tribute to your ancestors, Esmeraldas, who found this freedom state and town.
Thank you for listening to the Real Wakandans of Africa podcast. When you have a chance, please pick a copy of my books up from Amazon, The Real Wakandans of Africa, Dr. John Henry Clark vs. Herman Cain, The Great Wall of Africa, The Empire of Benin's 10,000-mile-long wall, The Real Vibranium of Africa, and Akhenaten's Dreams by Maurice Miles Martinez. You can also subscribe to this podcast and become a regular sustaining member by clicking the link in the podcast. You can donate from $1 to $10 per month, and this makes an enormous difference in supporting this podcast and my research. Thank you again for listening to me, MC Brother Miles, Maurice Miles Martinez. I will speak with you next week.